obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Good morning, everybody. I'm an enthusiastic member and student of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Al-Ateen, and what a privilege to be here this morning. My name is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
And in response to Ellen's comments, I'd just like to ask all of you to please just manage your expectations. It'd make it so much easier for me. And where's the topic, Ellen? Because I misread it. Up here somewhere. Serenity is my first priority. And what I thought it said was keeping my serenity as a priority. Not so different for that, except it is to me. First, I want to thank Pam for asking me to be here this morning and to share with you. You know, I really appreciate that. Pam is a friend of mine. Ellen is a friend of mine. And, you know, I would drive to... I have driven to Riverside to see Ellen, and to that I can only say that I've driven further for a lot less. So, but I do love her. You know, I love the laughter that they bring into program, and I love the way they hug back and the way they initiate this program and make it safe and comfortable for all of us. So thank you, Pam, for this privilege. And to Liz and her committee, you know, I know that Liz didn't know me. I didn't know Liz, but I'm glad that there's no reputation out there that preceded me that caused them to go to Pam and say, you know, maybe you might want to reconsider this. Because before program, that's exactly what would have happened. My reputation was, at any destination, way ahead of me. So, Liz, to you and your committee, and my deepest gratitude. I love to work on convention committees, and so I'm well aware of how many people it takes to make these events happen. You know, whether it's a reader, whether it's somebody to greet at the door, whether it's the chair, whatever the function is, there are many, many, many people that do this. And I hope that for you, your payoff for that, your reward for that, is just an incredible sense of peace and a knowledge that you're truly, truly part of. I've re-met some people. I met my best friend from last year in the elevator. She said, I remember you. And I said, you know, you look familiar. And she said, no, we had lunch together last year. And I did remember her then, you know, the familiarity. I remembered that, and I got a little closer with her this year and talked her into attending the midnight meeting Friday night, because Cynthia was leading that meeting at midnight. And so I said, come on, let's do the midnight meeting. We'll go in our pajamas and support Cynthia. And she was a little hesitant. And then her friend said, you know, Cynthia's going to be the chair next year. And if you're going to be on her committee, you might want to do this little act of sucking up. So she met me at 11:45, and we sat in that marathon meeting, and it was just really wonderful, and I heard a lot of really good shares. And then I met a woman when I was waiting to meet with her to go to the marathon. I sat up in the lobby on our floor, and I met a woman sitting there working on her computer, doing homework. And I so admire members in this program that find a way and find it within themselves to go back to school, and advance themselves and make the very most of who God made them to be. It was a pleasure to meet you, and it was a pleasure to spend those few moments with you. I've had a lot of interactions this weekend, you know, and it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to meet new people and to have some different conversations. I have to say that the speakers this weekend have been exceptional, exceptional. I went, you know, let me just say that our opening speaker, Lydia, is a dear friend of mine. She has given me words and given me sentences with so much wisdom that just explained so much to me. Evelyn, that spoke with her husband, Daryl. Evelyn was in the first meetings that I ever attended. And Evelyn is a real cornerstone of my program, because I'd go into that meeting, and I have to tell you that when I came into this program, I came in shrouded with that gift of despair that we hear about, shrouded with it. My chin was on my chest, and I cried for months. And I'd come into that meeting, and Evelyn would sit across the table, and, you know, she's got this beautiful, beautiful black face, and she'd look across at me, and she'd smile, that great big warm smile, and she'd say, "Smile." And I just couldn't. I just couldn't. But she kept it up. She just kept it up. And she gave me back my smile. And I love that. And I always appreciate that. And she's another one that our paths don't cross very often, but when they do, I know I'm in the presence of a really dear friend with really solid recovery. And she hugs me and I hug her, and it transfers back and forth, the same as it does with Ellen or anybody else. So last night, after the speaker meeting, what a powerful speaker. I hope everybody was there for Hector. What an amazing, amazing, powerful message he carried. And what a gift to me as a mother of alcoholics. What a gift to know what is available. What is available? You know, sometimes I think that I can sell recovery short where my kids are involved. If they could just, God, if they could just get a job, you know, if they could just quit doing, how short-changed they would be if that's all they did. An incredible, incredible speaker. And then I sat there with my friend and watched the talent show and stuff. Oh my goodness. Rock stars. Rock stars. You know, a friend came with me this weekend. She's my plus one. And I really appreciate, you know, that ability to go back to the room and have someone to talk with and to share these miracles and to share that awe, that sense of awe that I feel in the presence of these weekends. And I cried to her this morning because I got back to the room last night and we were both tired. And I said, you know, if you don't mind, I'm just going to play my game for a minute because I just need to kind of settle myself a little bit. And no, that's okay. And so I break out my Candy Crush. Like I needed that frustration on the level. Those chocolate fountains. And then I couldn't see the screen anymore because I just started to cry. Because I was just so overwhelmed with what I heard, with what I got to witness. And isn't that what we do? Isn't that the greatest gift here? That we sit with one another and we bear witness. And that is just an amazing thing, that this man that I've never met, Hector, could get up there just so vulnerable and so free, like all the other speakers, and be so willing and open to let their gods use them to speak to us. And it blew me away. So today, you know, I said to my friend this morning, and even last night, I think, oh my God, these speakers have been so amazing. I don't know that I really have anything else to offer. You know, we could just, okay, goodbye, call it good, and I'm out of here. But I laid in bed last night, and I thought about so many things. And I had that conversation with my God that I have every night. And I say those prayers that I say, and things kept popping in. I have this, there's another member in program. She's been here a long time. She's been here a long time. And she will still share in the room, I hate alcoholics. And you know, that always hurts me a little bit because she doesn't know my kids. I don't hate alcoholics. I go to open AA meetings, and you may wonder, what does this have to do with my serenity? I'm getting there. Because it absolutely has everything to do with it. everything. But I go to open AA meetings because that's suggested to us. And it was a very selfish reason that got me there. I started going to the open AA meetings because they do this prayer at the end. And they have a moment of silence for those alcoholics that still suffer. And the meeting that I attend on a slow day has 150 members in it. And you heard DJ, if you heard the speaker Friday night, the Marina Pacifica meeting. And so I started going to this meeting as a way to get me to go to Curves in the morning. I couldn't get up early to go to Curves, but I could get up early and get dressed to go to a meeting and go to Curves. I don't go to Curves anymore. But I've been a regular member of that meeting for a number of years in the morning. I'm kind of the token Al-Anon there. And I never went there to love more alcoholics. I went there to hook on to that prayer. I went there to add my kids to that prayer. Because I know in that room, it fills up and they start to share. And God's grace, you can just almost see it. You can just almost see it. And I just wanted my kids' names in there. I wanted that room of alcoholics praying for mine that still suffer. And then I started praying for all of us, in and out of the rooms, not just alcoholics, because we suffer too. And those that haven't found the rooms truly suffer and don't know any different. So I really hope this morning that there's enough left, that there's a message to be carried. And so I really ask my God this morning, please, God, let that God in me talk to the God in you. And let us all go home from here filled to overflowing. That on our way home and in the hallways on the way back to get our luggage or whatever, that we just leave a little bit of grace behind us for somebody else to pick up. You know, we impact a lot of people here. Well, first, let me tell you. Let me just qualify a little bit. And, you know, I came into Al-Anon the night after we had changed the locks on our house and put our daughter on the street. She was an alcoholic addict. She had eloped and married her drug dealer, her alcohol buyer, and her abuser. And so we told her that we loved her and that we wished her well. And if she ever wanted to make different choices, she could certainly come home. And I think the most important thing that we said to her was, it's not that we don't trust and love you. We do. But we can't love and trust this disease. And that's what's active right now. That's what we're dealing with right now. And I came into program to you the next night with no God, not wanting a God. And got real sick of yours real quick, real quick. That's not what I wanted. And I didn't come to you to find out, how do I get my daughter back? How do I get my daughter sober? I came to you wanting to know, how do I survive the choices we've already made? If my daughter dies out there, how do I go on living with that knowledge? And what I got in that first meeting, you know, was funny. They were redoing the room that they normally meet in. So we were in one of the kindergarten classrooms. We were in the little kid chairs. And because of that, not all the members, it was really a big meeting, but there was only a handful there. And so we all sat like that. It was so funny. And my husband went with me at first, and I couldn't speak. I'm telling you, that despair had my chin stapled to my chest, and I couldn't stop crying. And so they'd go around, my husband say, hi, I'm Joel, and then he'd look at me. And he'd say, and this is my wife, Jessica. And that happened for weeks, because I just couldn't stop. And what I heard in that very first meeting was your laughter. And I was amazed. I was truly, truly amazed. And, you know, the meeting was across the park from our house, and walking home, I said, oh, my God, did you hear what went on in that room? And he said, well, I heard the same stories you did. I said, not the stories. Did you hear the laughter in that room? What is wrong with these people? Didn't they hear? Didn't they hear what just happened in our lives? Don't they know our daughter is out there? But you know, that very deep place in me just went, I'd been looking for these rooms and looking for you guys my entire life. And you were across the park, and I didn't know it. And that laughter kept me coming back. And I realized when you laughed, I realized how long that laughter had been gone from my home. And it was because of me. It was because of me. It was that untreated me that sucked the joy right out of that house. I was raised by a problem drinker, an absent problem drinker, and I brought that, all of those effects into this marriage. It's my second marriage. I'm married to a wonderful man. Lydia's not the only one that gets a wonderful man. I got one too. And I don't know why. I didn't know why then, but I thought it was my Prince Charming, you know. He had everything I wanted, except for hair color, height, and looks. But beyond that, he had everything I wanted, and he had more than I ever knew I wanted. And we're still married today. And he took these two children of mine as his own. And they called him Dad from the moment the ring was on my finger, and they call him Dad today. And his heart breaks no less than mine. And his sadness is just as great as mine because of this family disease. So, you know, when I came into you, that's all I wanted to know was, how do I survive? And what you've taught me over the years is how to thrive. You know, some people come in and they say, you know, this program saved my life. It didn't save my life. I never had any thoughts of, you know, not living or anything. It didn't save my life. It gave me a life. It gave me a life. And I started listening to you, and I started reading the steps and the traditions on the wall, and I started listening to everything that you had to say. And I saw your faces, and they were relaxed, and your shoulders were down, and you were hugging each other, and you were talking nice, and I had no connection to that. I had no serenity in my life. I don't think I'd ever even heard that word in my life. My S word was survive. Just survive. And that's what I did every day. But as I heard the serenity prayer in those rooms, I started to understand that that's what you had. That's why you looked the way you do. That's why you spoke the way you spoke. That's why when it says, we'll love you in a very special way, I knew that meant me. Because it had to be a special way, because beyond, absent that, you had no reason to love me, you know? So I stayed with you, and I listened, you know, I heard the thing about sponsorship, and I'd already taken that God, because I also heard you read, take what you like and leave the rest. I thought, okay, well, we'll see how this goes. With my husband always leaning, you know, this is a Christian program. I said, no, I don't think it is. He said, did you hear what they said? I said, yes, I heard what they said. Shh, shh. And then somebody else would share, and they'd say, in my God's name is. And he'd go, there it is. You hear that? Shh, shh. And finally I said, you know what, Mach? I hear what they say, but look what the literature says. Look what the literature says. And I'm a very black and white person. So if it says it in the book that way, and you're saying something else, well, you're just misinterpreting this. I need to go by the book, because if I don't, I might not be able to stay. If I have to accept your God, I may not be able to stay. And I'm so grateful for the wisdom in Al-Anon that said, take what you like and leave the rest. It's all good. And so I did. I put that God over there. And as I heard you talk about sponsorship and suggested women sponsor women and men sponsor men, not happening. Not happening. I don't like women. I don't trust women. And that sponsorship thing went right over there with God. And the woman I'm rooming with this weekend came up to me one night and said, you know, Jessica, it's really okay if you leave that stuff, because sooner or later when you want more, you'll come back and pick it up. You guys are so wise. And sure enough, that's what I did. I came back and picked it up because I wanted so much more. I had a taste and it wasn't enough. You know, it's like a white chocolate mousse with raspberry sauce. Never enough. And I came back and I picked up sponsorship because I heard a woman share who was worse than me in raising her children. I made a lot of mistakes in my parenting behind my untreatedness. A lot of mistakes. I did a lot of damage. And what I've heard here this week, and I've heard the alcoholics qualify, you know, my mom and dad did not make me an alcoholic. My living conditions did not make me an alcoholic. If only they knew how that filled me. Because I know I'm not responsible. I've always known that it was a disease and my children were alcoholics because they were an alcoholic, not because of me. And I heard that you didn't cause it, you can't control it, you can't cure it. But what I'd been doing for years was contributing to it. And I know that. I know that. But at the time, I didn't know any different. And I hear these alcoholics share about, you know, I know my mom did the best she could. And I think, from your lips to God's ears, because I did. I never meant to hurt my kids. So I picked up that sponsor. And I entrusted that sponsor not only with me, but with leading me to a higher power that I could understand. What an amazing thing that we all get our own God. You know, if we only had one God, how many people would be left out of this circle? But with all the gods that we have, certainly there's something from all of them that somebody can pick from and then put it together. Just put it together. You know, and I often say to people, you know, is that what your God does? You think your God created that? If that's the God you hired, you need to look at that job description, fire him and get another one. Because we get to do that. And I'm grateful for that. And it's led me to a point of being able to turn to that God and say, I don't know what to do. Please help me. Because I know that it's not a punishing God today. I know that the fractured relationship with my son today is not a result of the parenting I did 40 years ago. I know that the fractured relationship with my son today is because of the isms of this family disease. And he's suffering. He's being eaten up by the resentments toward me. And I can't help him with that. You know, this gift, maintaining, what is it? Serenity is my first priority. No, it never was, you know. But I've thought about it for the last few weeks. You know, when I realized in the letter that I had, oh my God, closing me, and there's a topic, oh my God. And it really caused me to think about it. Because I'm not always mindful about my serenity. You know, I wake up in the morning and before I get out of bed, I say those prayers. You know, it's thank you at night, please in the morning. Help me to follow your will for me today. Just get me up to go to that morning meeting because I don't want to. Do those simple things. And then I can get out of bed feeling very much at peace, drop my earring and go, shit. It's an earring, Jessica. But just that quick, pass the salt, pass your serenity, and there it is. There it is. You know, my husband is as close to normal as anybody could be. He doesn't drink. He doesn't drink coffee or tea. He needs absolutely no stimulation in his life. What he's doing with me, I don't know. But we're happy. And he just has this innate sense of serenity. And he has this beautiful way of dealing with me. I was thinking about this topic the other night. We'd had our grandson for the weekend, unexpectedly. And you know, that daughter that we had put on the street has been back in our lives for a long time, and she's given us two grandchildren. She's in and out of meetings, in and out of her recovery. And she was going to meetings, solidly in recovery after a relapse. And then one morning she woke up and her disease started talking to her. What do you think? What do you think, Jenny? Want a drink? Oh, no. No, no. I can't. Ah, just one. No, I can't. Well, what about a little excitement then? You know, drinking is but a symptom. It doesn't always have to be a drink. What about a little excitement? Maybe. But first, I think I'll go to Stater Brothers and get some gloves for the kids to go snowboarding today. All right, I'll go with you. And she and her disease went to Stater Brothers. And in that moment that she picked those gloves up, they went in her purse, along with the money that she had to pay for them. And out the door she went. And she was arrested in the parking lot for shoplifting. Sober. In sobriety. Sober. And she went to jail. And my worst fear was realized. Because that grandson of ours, she never married his dad. And he can be a real SOB. And he's never been real loving, kind, or present to our grandson. And he's never liked paying that child support. And she lives in a very small community. So let me tell you, it didn't take long for that incident in the Stater Brothers parking lot to get to his front door. And he got to that courthouse real quick. And while she spent 10 or 12 days in jail, she lost custody of my grandson. Thank God for this program. Because you had taught me to stay calm, to pray. Be serene, Jessica. There's no answers. There's no solution in chaos. Nothing can be done with anger toward your daughter or this disease. Stay calm. Think of your grandson. You know, my husband and I had taken a lot of flack over the years because we maintained a courteous relationship with Joshua's dad. And my daughter would get so angry, and I'd say, look, you need to understand. If anything ever happens to you, what I didn't say, comma, you alcoholic, comma, I said, if anything ever happens to you, he's our contact to get to your son. Whatever's with you and him is between you and him. And you taught me that. Because I came into Al-Anon a real dragon slayer. You know, I'd have gone after that grandkid's dad in a heartbeat. Because that's my grandson. Don't hurt him. And I didn't. You know, when he called us and said, I want my son, because we brought him down to our house. And I said, nobody's keeping your son from you. No one's keeping your son. And then a couple days later, I had to take him back home, pull up in his dad's driveway, and turn him over. With my grandson saying, why would my mom do that? She knows I hate my dad. And I just held him and loved him and said, Josh, it's going to be okay, honey. It's going to be okay. And we're right here, and we're going to stay in touch. And you allowed me to just hold that child and reassured him when I was so unsure already. But I knew that God would watch over this child. He had nothing to do with it. And I trusted this God to protect him. You know, that's part of my prayer every morning with those alcoholics. Please, God, protect the children. protection and blessings for the children. Protect them from physical harm and emotional damage. You know my special intentions. Please hold my grandchildren close. Because I know, you know, I so appreciated Evelyn's pitch about Alateen. I have many young mothers in my life, and even my daughter will say, you know, she's a real scrapper. And she'll be hollering and screaming. I go, where are the kids? Oh, Mom, they're at the other end. They can't hear me. Yes, they can. I did, growing up. All the doors shut, pillow over my head, and it's like she was standing right up my ear. Yeah, they don't miss a thing. They don't miss a thing. So, you know, we set out to make the best out of this. And we did. You know, I was able to love my daughter through it. Thank you, Al-Anon. I was able to be serene through it, really and truly. You know, I cried and then I got over it. And I did what I've been taught to do. I have an Al-Anon network and I have a group of friends and I just put it all, I just journaled on that and sent it out every day and stayed current with all you members. And ask you, this was amazing, I ask you to pray for this situation and to pray for my grandchildren. And to watch over that house of that dad. Because he did some not nice things to my grandson.
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
I went and visited my daughter in jail. That was a biggie. Never thought I'd do that. And I sat on the other side of that glass thinking, I'm not sure who this is more uncomfortable for, me or her. And my husband cried. This is such an amazing program. And all through this kind of stuff that happens, my thoughts are always of Al-Anon and what I've learned here. And what I'm taught here, and the serenity that is offered here. You know, when crisis happens, or when I'm just in a bad mood, or whatever, my first thought is seldom to call my sponsor or pray. Comes in two and three usually, but seldom my first thought. Even today, even when I know that is the most effective thing for me to do, not gonna happen. So certainly keeping my serenity is a priority. That's, you know, that's down there. Because I take it for granted today. I take that peace that I feel. I wanted it for so long, and I just think it's part of me. It's part of me. I can talk myself into stuff really easy. You know, I wasn't a good mom raising my children. I made a lot of mistakes, you know, and I'll just tell you straight up, I was an abusive mom. I wasn't physically abusive, I was worse. I was a yeller and a screamer, and I would pound my fist, and I did a lot of damage to those little spirits behind that. And so I have these grandchildren, you know, and I think they just love me with every cell in them. They think Grammy is the best. And I think I'm the best, and I think I'm good. I'm not that mom as a grandmother. I'm cured until they start fighting amongst themselves. And I wheel around, and there I am, the Jessica that came into you, the Jessica that raised those children. And I went, whew, whew, oh no, no, I'm not doing that again. But I need those lessons, I need those awarenesses. Because the Jessica that came into you is just always right below my skin. It's just always there. I can pick it up in a heartbeat. I can be that dragon slayer again. I'm so fortunate that I never had a thought of leaving you. So incredibly fortunate, that thought never entered my mind. Because then I know I'd be back there in a moment. So a couple weeks ago, we had this grandson for unexpectedly for the weekend, and we got to build so many memories with him because you've given me the ability to do that. And it's fun, you know, Grammy's just easygoing. Really? My husband's very laid back, you know. So it was an incredible weekend. And I thought numerous times through the weekend, how blessed and fortunate my life. How good is this God that we get this child? He's almost 14 years old, and he walks down the street with his arms around us. You know, he's taller than my husband and a little bit taller than me, and he puts his arms around us, and he kisses us in public, and he loves us with abandon. And at the end of that weekend, I took him home, and I came back that night just floating on the freeway home at how blessed my life, how fortunate I am. I'm an amazing grace in my head. Excuse me? And when I got home, I put my bathrobe on and I sat on the couch. And my husband said something to me, and I barked at him. And I could hear it, but it's like it wasn't me. And my body tensed, and I got real quiet. And he'd say, is something wrong? No. And in my head, I'm going, something's wrong, but I don't know what. What's up? And at 10 o'clock, he said, you want to go to bed? I said, no. Okay, I'll sit up with you. Why? I just want to be alone. Can I just be alone? And he sat down. And then when we went to bed, and I'm thinking, what? What am I doing with this? And we went to bed, and he scooted over next to me and put his arm around me, and I said, please don't do that. And I scooted further to my side of the bed. And I started to say my prayers. And his foot came over and touched my foot, and I moved my foot. What the hell is that about? And I'm saying my prayers, and I'm thinking about this topic, making my serenity a priority. Yeah, well, I'm just a real picture of recovery right here, you know? And the word that came to me amongst those prayers was, why don't you just let him love you? Why don't you just let this man love you? And what I realized in that moment was that that weekend was just too big for me. I felt so unworthy of that. I felt so overpaid, so overloved, that it was too much. It was too much. And I had to start pushing it away, and he was the one there. The one least deserving was the one there. And I continued to say my prayers, and I thought about this topic. And I thought, there it is. The answer is love. How do I maintain? How do I keep this daily serenity, this constant serenity? How do I get there? And we've heard it so many times this weekend. What you think about me is none of my business. But what I think about you and how I feel about you is absolutely necessary for my well-being and my serenity. And I got up in the morning and I said to my husband, I am so sorry that we lost that moment last night because I was so nasty. And this man that I did not deserve when we married said, I didn't think you were nasty. And you know, before program, I'd have run with that. I'd have run with that. But you've taught me that there's no peace in that. And I said, I was nasty. I'm grateful that you don't feel that, but I feel it to my very core, and I'm better than that. You know the Jessica that stands before you today? Is nothing but a compilation of all the members that have contributed so fully and freely to my recovery. It's every cup of coffee, every cup of tea that I've shared. It's every meeting I've attended. It's every word that I've read in our literature. It's every thought that I've had of you. There's some members here today, some friends here today, said, I'm going to get up in the morning and be there for you. Oh, I can't wait to hear you share. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I love you, Jessica. And I take those really kind, generous comments to honor all of those that stand behind me, that created this member in good standing in Al-Anon. You know, my first sponsor, she was pretty amazing. I learned at her knee and I walked at her side. And she taught me so much. She taught me, you know, how to be a lady, how to have fun in recovery. She taught me everything I know about the steps and the traditions and all that kind of stuff. And I learned by doing. And when I was around her, when I'm around you, I'm a spiritual giant. But this isn't the test of who I am. That's the test of who I am. You know, and I want to tell you that within program, you know, we impact people. You impact me. We sit amongst teachers and mirrors. And there came a day where there was a disagreement. And those three obstacles came alive for me. Dominance, gossip, discussions of religion. They came alive for me. Because I was experiencing them on the receiving end. You know, these slogans and stuff that we have, take what you like and leave the rest, that's for me. That's my filter. That is not for me to say to you. That is not for me to justify. That is not for me to take away something that you value. That's for me to take what I like and leave the rest. These traditions and the interpretations of those, there's as many of those as there are higher powers, I think, you know. And I'm guilty too. I can interpret them to my good. And I know others can too. And behind those actions, a lot of damage was done. And one of those fears that I always had, you know, if I give in and accept this God that you guys talk about, and I become this serene being, you're all going to stand up. All of you that I've seen taking these birthdays, and all of you that you've shared this room with me for years, and you're going to point and laugh, and I'm a fool. And the neon sign comes on, you idiot. You don't deserve this. And I said to that sponsor, is that why I don't get the family afterwards? Because I don't have the right God? You think I don't have the right God? My greatest fear in that moment was that blanket, that rug, that spiritual safety, that was the moment it was going to be pulled right out from under me, and there I'd be in that pit of despair again. And I called a friend crying, snot bubbles everywhere. And I went to her house, and I sat in her room, and I sat in that chair, and I bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled and cried and bemoaned to her, how could this happen? I didn't do anything. Dominance, gossip, discussions of religion. And what ultimately happened was this friend became my temporary sponsor because I knew that this woman couldn't sponsor me anymore. Couldn't happen. And what this temporary sponsor said to me, you know, Jessica, I think she forgot who she knew you to be. She forgot who she knew you to be. Wow. Those actions of those people hurt me deeply. If there was ever any reason to leave Al-Anon, it was then. And all I could do was get closer to you, because I knew that my entire life and my serenity and everything that I'd gained in my life depended on that moment and what way I went. And you know, those actions right there, they were hurtful, and you know, I've done some work and I've talked and I've moved on from that. The reason I say this and the reason that I know that we impact people is what I took away from that. And I'm very fortunate. You know, my kids don't think I have anything that they can use, and that's all right. And I don't get that family afterwards as I think it should be. But I have young people in my life. I have young women in my life. I have young men in my life that think I have something to offer them. And I missed it. I missed it. And I think, you know, I just talked to my sponsor about it the other day, and I said, you know, it wasn't about those actions. I'm over that. It's been several years. And these people continued to treat me like a pariah. And I don't get it. I don't get that. And I get to be proud of myself that I don't do that, that I've listened, that I learned. I respect this person that taught me so much. It hasn't changed any of that. But I know I have a decision in that moment. And my decision is serenity. And what I do, what my actions are, is going to determine my day. Not what they do, what I do. You know, serenity is a choice for me. And I can have those moments over the earring, but my follow-up to that is, aren't I lucky? There was a young woman that walked into my house one day, and she said, wow, Jessica, you live here and you go to Al-Anon meetings? And that spirituality in me spoke up and said, you know what? It's not about where I live. It's about what lives in me. And what lives in me are those profound effects of this family disease. When I married my husband, I hit the big time, I want you to know. He pulled up on that blind date in a sports car, had an apartment at the beach, wore a suit to work, and was going for another degree in college. And money in the bank. And he was Jewish. You may think that's funny, but that was on my list because I know they treat their women well, you know? And I had it all. I had it all in those terms, you know? We met in May, engaged in July, married that September. We're coming up on 37 years. And I love this man. I'm as in love with this man today as I was when I married him. And he's clueless what an idiot I am. You know? I would love nothing more for him to say, I'm so glad you go to Alateen. You know, you were a real monster, but you've just mellowed. And instead he goes, I don't get it. What? I'm so blessed. You know, he had nothing to do with me being profoundly affected by this disease, and all that man's ever wanted to do was make it up to me. And he continues to do it. He doesn't come to any of these functions, he doesn't go to pot, he doesn't do any of that stuff with me. Not because he doesn't support me, but because he doesn't like to share. You know, and he thinks I get here with you and he becomes, but he doesn't. You know, I've had so many thoughts of him this weekend, and his generosity to allow me to do this and understand and love me through that. We have a very serene life. And on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly, it's all my decision. It's all my decision. So what do I do to maintain this serenity? What do I do? You know, it's like I do with my God. It's in the seeking. It's in the seeking that conscious contact. Not only do I have to seek that conscious contact with my higher power, but I need to seek it with serenity. And to seek it for serenity, I need to remember how much I love you. And my heart just expands. And I just kind of stand with my hands at my sides. Because I know it comes back to me. And it's amazing, you know. I hear newcomers say, you know, I don't get this whole thing. Love you in a very special way, and you already love me. Yeah, it makes me real uncomfortable. And I have a new young woman in my life, and I give her a hug, and I said, I love you so much. And she goes, why would you tell me that? Because I do. Because I do. Because I know that's the answer. For me? I said, no, for me. I don't do this for you. But I do, you know, but I do. Because that's what it is, isn't it? It's about giving it away to keep it. And that's everything. And I say yes to service because that's what we do. And so I have to remember that, you know. I have to remember what it is here. The reason I talked about the way that we impact people is because we have tremendous impact within the rooms. You know, when we carry the message, we don't just carry it out there to the world, to people that don't know that there's a solution for them, but we carry a message in here as well. We carry a message to each other of what this program has to offer and what's available within us that you can have. If you want what I have, do what I do. I heard that when I first came in, and I think in my head, but you don't understand. I can do what you, I don't get it. And they'd say, stick with the winners. And I'd look around this room with people that otherwise I wouldn't even know or hang with or be interested in, and I'd think, all right, okay, would the winners stand up? Because I don't have a clue. And God knows I don't want to go to coffee with a devil. So stand up. Didn't have a clue. You deserve to be here. No, I don't. You know, if I deserved to be here, wouldn't my mother have loved me? If my own mother couldn't love me, why would you? Stop saying that. Don't hug me. And I just kind of stand there like, ugh, don't hug me. But I couldn't wait to get back to you. If you're new or fairly new, nobody ever told me you can go to more than one meeting a week. I thought it was a loyalty thing or something, you know. So I'd go Wednesday night, and we'd walk home across the park, and I couldn't wait to get back to you the next Wednesday. You know, we have directories. There's a purpose. Go to as many meetings as you can get to. Go to as many as you can get to. And that's where I find peace and serenity. I find it with you. I find it when I sit with somebody else and they're crying because they don't have something that they want so desperately in their life. I have a God. Why don't I have this? You just keep working toward it. You just keep working toward it. Stay open. Love God and know that your God loves you. Do this stuff that others do. Is that going to work? I don't know. It's working for everybody else. It works for me. So I'm just going to say, oh, yes. Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it? It worked for me. And I never thought it would. All of those profound effects on me from this family disease have been treated and countered by the profound love in our rooms, by the way we reach out to one another, by your ability to allow me to bring my very best self and my very worst self in any given day, and you love me anyway. Who I am in that moment does not affect how you feel about me in the long run. And I so appreciate that. I so value that. I run to you for that because I don't know where else to take it that will understand. You know, there's things about me that my sponsor knows that my husband doesn't. Not because I wouldn't tell him, but because he doesn't get it. You know, he doesn't get it. And the great thing for him today is that he doesn't have to. You know, he's not my everything. I value him. I love him. I'm grateful for him. But he's not my everything. And the serenity that we talk about here can sometimes be so elusive. Can be so elusive. And I watch you do it. I watch you do it. Talked to a couple women this weekend that were so nervous about the marathon meetings they were leading. And they walked up there and took that podium with such dignity and grace. And I could see that white light of serenity around them. And I knew that God was present and they were okay. And they did a great job. And I need to see it working in you so that I know that it's still working in me. I have this young woman in my life. I tell her she's my favorite coffee date. But I tell them all that. And when we hug goodbye, she gives me these little kisses on my cheek. And I just melt. Because I know that that's the gift you've given me. Left to my own devices, I wouldn't get that. But because I meet with her and I carry the message that was so freely and fully given to me, she loves me. And she has no clue that I love her more. And that's kind of a thing that we say, you know. I'll say, I love you. And I'll say, I love you more. I don't think so. And then they like to trick me. And I'll say, I love you. And they'll say, I love you more. And I say, I love you most. I win. Because that's the game that we play, isn't it? It's such a lovely game that we play. And in that is a serenity that we seek. And in that is the way that I hold on to it. I'm only ever as good as my last cup of coffee with you, as my last meeting with you, as my last hug with you, as my last piece of literature that I read. I'm only ever as good as that. And if it never gets any better than that for me, whew, overpaid. And I get serene. And it's there, and I'm serene most of the time. Most of the time. And in those times that I'm not, I'm easy on Jessica. You know, I'm easy on Jessica because you've taught me how to do that. And the quickest way back to that serenity is to just let it go. Just forgive yourself and move on. Just move on. Don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck there. And I think that's one of the things that we say to each other almost the most. Be gentle. Watch that self-talk. Watch the self-talk. It's not that you can't do it. It's just different. It's just different. You've taught me that. And it stood the test of time. Everything you've taught me, everything I've picked up from you, every role model in these rooms that I've taken a little morsel from has stood the test of time. And I can tell you that if it works for me, it will certainly work for you. This weekend, I am filled up. I'm telling you, I cried myself to sleep last night. And it wasn't those tears of sorrow that I came in with. No, those are all cried. I'm done with those. I had to cry those to get to these others, these joyful tears, these lovely tears. And that's what it was. It was just that amazing grace of being able to bear witness this weekend. So I'll close on this. You know, I have a dear friend, and we were sitting at a woman's weekend talking about these amazing men in our lives. And I said, I have no idea why he ever stayed. I have no idea. She said, oh, I know. I know. I said, you do? Well, tell me. She said, you know what, Jessica? He saw in you that place that is buried so deep within you that it was untouched by this family disease of alcoholism. That's why he stayed, because he saw that. I don't know about you guys, I don't hear that shit anywhere else in my life. I don't get it anywhere but here, and it blew me away. And what I knew in that moment was that Al-Anon saw that spot too. You saw that place. And you said, you know what? We're going to use that as a foundation. And my God said, go ahead, because this one's tough. Go ahead, use that place. And you built on that place in me that's been untouched by this family disease of alcoholism. I don't tell you that because I'm special. I tell you that because I know absolutely if I have that place that's untouched, so do you. And I experience it and I witness it from all of you. So if nobody's told you they love you today, I love you. And if someone has told you that they love you today, I do too. I love you most. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me here this weekend and allowing me this privilege to lead this meeting and to share with you what Al-Anon has done for me and the people in my life. And I set out from here to carry this message in the rooms and out, because it's so important that if I have an impact on you, that it's one that makes you want more. Not that loud warning, you know, not that loud warning. And I pray that God always use me to that end. Thank you. I hope so.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.